along with Keith. I'm very grateful for this good audience and the inclement weather that we had today, though I know you've come through much worse than that. A great number. I was afraid to turn around with all the that were announced to see if anybody was left. But we're grateful for others who've come from other congregations. I have some relatives here, not only my brother who was here last night and tonight, and will be leaving for home, but my aunt and uncle, Bud and Joyce Strevels from Sycamore. Actually, they live in the Danville area, but Sycamore is home to them. But we're grateful for everyone, and we want to entertain you tonight in matters spiritual. That's what you've come here for. And I want to talk to you about some, give you some questions about false teachers. Number one, can we recognize the false teacher by his or her appearance? And as we get into this lesson, what do a lot of coaches tell their teams? The best offense is a good what? Defense. Ah, I knew you'd know that somehow. But we can't tell them by their appearance, can we? No, we cannot. They appear to be devout, Jesus said. They come to us in sheep's clothing. Do you know anything much sweeter than a little sheep? Much softer or precious? And we've seen the pictures of Jesus holding a little lamb. Soft and pure and white. And this is how they come to us. As he said, and they watched him and sent forth spies which should feign. Now what does the word feign mean? Paul talked about Eunice and Lois and about their unfeigned faith in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5. Unfeigned means real or genuine. So feigned faith is that which is fakey or unreal, not genuine. So they feign themselves, they pretend to be just men, that they might take hold of his words, that so they might deliver him into the power and authority of the governor in Luke chapter 20 and verse 20. Can we tell them by their appearance? Shake your head this way. No, we can't. Do we have false teachers with us today? Shake your head this way. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. So we must be aware of who they are, and to have this good offense, we must have a good defense against them. And be aware of them, that everybody is not teaching the truth. Everybody does not believe the truth. In John 8 and verse 6, this they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. When they had brought the woman that was caught in adultery. You remember that case, don't they? Were they trying to help out in this situation? No, they were not. They were false teachers. And they wanted to get Jesus in trouble. And this is what false teachers do. But we cannot be afraid of them. They need to know that we are not afraid of them. We need to be going after them. We know where they are. And they need to know who we are. And that we have the truth. This is what Keith has been doing with the Christian church preacher across the road. Need to stay after people like that. In Peyton City, West Virginia, in the Baptist church just down the street from us, they had five different preachers. We stayed after those preachers. We kept writing them and asking them questions. And kept exposing their error. And we told them that however they answered our questions, that we were going to preach it from our pulpits. I got a lot of blank sheets back. No answers to the questions. We would not do that, would we? If somebody were to question us, if Keith were to receive, or any of you were to receive questions from any denomination in this area, they ask you a Bible question, you give them a Bible answer, wouldn't you? You would not ignore them. You'd be happy to do that. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Can we tell them by their appearance? For such people are false apostles, deceitful workers, masquerading. Halloween, does that make you think of anything? The little ones wear masks, don't they? Masquerading as apostles of Christ. Larry and I met one of the apostles, John Smith, up near Marion, Indiana, wasn't it? I believe it was, Larry, a few years ago. Claimed to be an apostle. We met him. We told him we'd meet him at the graveyard on the next Saturday morning. And when we drove up, a bunch of us drove up to that cemetery, they were exhuming a body, and we thought, oh, how easy it's going to be for him just to take that body right out of that casket. You won't have to take it out of the ground. Well, Mr. John Apostle Smith didn't show up. We were hoping that he would, but he didn't. Masquerading as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. I was talking to a preacher a few years ago in the Lord's church. I asked him how the church where he was dealing with all the controversy. And he said, oh, we don't. We don't deal with the controversy. He said, we wait till it comes to us. Now just think about that. Does the devil come barging through, running through the doors with a red suit on and horns and fangs and a pitchfork and say, I'm here? No, he comes to you in sheep's clothing, doesn't he? You ever seen that happen? And they're waiting for the controversy to come to them. By the time they find out about it, that church is going to be destroyed, isn't it? Yes, it is. A wolf doesn't stand on the top of the hill looking down at the flock of sheep and start howling and running, does he? No, he crawls right in amongst them. And I've said this 100 times before, and he has the pick of the litter. Any, many, see where I'm going? Miney, and who's that next fella? Yeah. That could be me. I need to be forewarned so I can be forearmed. To be aware of who they are. We can't tell by their appearance. They're masquerade, don't they? Matthew 22. Then the Pharisees went and plotted. Did you ever plot against somebody? Or did somebody ever plot against you? How they might entangle him in their talk. Is that what somebody honest does? Do honest people plot against people, and especially against Jesus? No, they do not. And they sent to him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God in truth, nor do you care about anyone, for you do not regard the person of men. You are not a respecter of persons. Why, you're just about the best person we think we've ever met. Somebody said, when a false teacher is patting you on the back, you be careful because they're looking for a soft place to stick a knife. Isn't that what they were doing? Yes, it was. Entangle him in his talk. They plotted. They huddled together. And there's much more to that story, but this is our point tonight. You cannot tell by their appearance and what they might say. Has human nature changed? Oh, we don't have people like that today. Oh, they'd like nothing better to entangle us in our talk. In debates that have been held, and my brother has held several, trying to say things to get him to be entangled in his talk, but when you have the truth, you don't get entangled, do you? No. Have they all passed from the earth, false teachers? There's some good old boys out there, just as loving and kind and friendly, but what they are teaching is false doctrine, and the blind lead the blind, and both shall fall into the ditch. Leading good people, your friends, your neighbors, your relatives, and mine, to hell. Can we tell them by their appearance? In Acts chapter 23:19, the commander took him, that is Paul's sister's son, by the hand, and stepping aside, began to inquire of him privately, what is it that you have to report to me? And he said, the Jews have agreed to ask you to bring Paul down tomorrow to the council. Here's their masquerade. As though they were going to inquire somewhat more thoroughly about him. What was the truth? So do not listen to them, for more than 40 of them are lying in wait for him who have bound themselves under a curse, not to eat or drink until they slay him, and now they are ready and waiting for him. Can we tell? Can we tell by their appearance? Secondly, can we tell them by their personality? Anybody ever say, oh, that fella, he's got a million-dollar personality. I don't know anybody put a price on mine. How about yours? Can we tell them by their personality? Yes, I've known a lot of friendly false teachers. Told you about one the other night, Mel Dibble of the Billy Graham Crusade. Putting his arm around me just as friendly and talkative until we began to ask him some questions that he could not answer. And all of a sudden, where did he have to go? He had a meeting he had to get to. Well, he's going to have a meeting one of these days with the Lord, isn't he? And he's not going to be able to walk away from that. And his knee will bow and his tongue will confess. That's what we were trying to talk to him about. One preacher told me, he said, why don't you go out there and try to convert souls instead of talking to me? I said, that's what I'm trying to do with you. Good old boys, yeah. But personalities changed when they're cornered. They sure do. We'll need to ask a question. What about his knowledge of the Scriptures? Listen to some of these fellows on television and radio, and very little Scripture is quoted, if any at all. And I want to say this right now. In West Virginia, a little congregation not far from us, about the size of this congregation, had a gospel meeting one night, or one week. When the preacher finished, the local preacher got up and said, get your Bibles out. He said, I want you to use them at least once before you go home. If I had preached the lesson and been standing in the back after that and heard that, I should have been ashamed, shouldn't I? And the problem is, one of the elders of another congregation sat in that same audience and told from that other congregation, said, we got to get him for a meeting. And the preacher was thinking, what are you thinking? Didn't refer to a passage of Scripture. See, we can't be like that. We've got to be the Bible pounders, what we used to be accused of being. Bible believers. We can't tell them by their personality. What about their knowledge of the Scriptures? It's pretty shallow sometimes, isn't it? Can we tell them by their reputation? Everybody loves them. Well, what did Jesus say in Luke chapter 6 and verse 26? Woe to you! All men speak well of you. For their fathers used to treat the false prophets in the same way. You get the idea? There's a lot of fellows that are very, very popular in our country today. Joel Osteen, have you seen him on television? How many thousands of people fill that stadium, not building, but stadium where he preaches? And they just love that boy. Can we tell them by their reputation? And everybody speaks well of you. And I understand and know. Sometimes a person passes away and says, never had an enemy. And I understand that statement. But you're not going to be loved by ever. Jesus was the sweetest, kindest, dearest, wonderful man that ever walked this earth. Was he hated? How much so? To be put to death. And not by a quick death. Was it? You know that. We cannot tell them by their claims. Jesus said in Matthew 7:22, that's what they're going to do. They're going to claim the many wonderful works we've done in your name. And Jesus was saying, Has he done? Paul wrote it so we 2,000 years later could be reading their names. Hymenaeus and Philetus in chapter 2, verses 16 through 18. 2 Timothy 4, Demas hath forsaken me. Not just somebody, but Demas. Alexander the coppersmith. So you could determine that it wasn't the blacksmith. See? Is that getting pretty pinpointed? The coppersmith. Demas, who had been a faithful servant with Paul. No more. Unruly and vain talkers, he called them in Titus 1. Demetrius, the silversmith. You can read Acts chapter 19. That's an interesting story as well. When he called them in Acts 17, verse 23, ignorant worshipers. Should we be that bold? Should we be that plain? In our last chart today, what have we learned? Do they exist? Do false teachers exist? My boys would say, duh. Yeah, they're all over the place, aren't they? Do we need to leave them alone? No. Do we need to go after them? Yes. We need not be afraid. We have the truth. Are we going to make enemies of them? Yes, we are. Yes, we are. But we're also going to convert some. It was said of Paul, when he went to a town, he started a riot or a church or both. Can we turn the world upside down in Harrisburg and Danville and on the Fork? How do we do that? They don't come here. We have to go where they are. Paul did. Jesus did. Many turned away, but also many turn to the truth. Souls were saved. They do not appear as false teachers. No. They are deceptives, as we found out. And they produce fruit. And we can know them. We can know them by their fruit. Now, David said in Psalm 119 and verse 11, "Thy word have I put in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." And putting God's word in our heart not only causes us to know His rules and stay in the straight and narrow, but it also will cause us to want to grab others as we go along our way and save them from a sinking ship. They are in the devil's ship, and we need to throw a lifeline to them and bring them into the fold of safety. Yes, many will turn you down as they have in the past. I know they have. As you've talked to your friends. One neighbor asked me a few years ago. He said, "Mo, don't ask me to come to church anymore." He said, "I'm not coming." Don't ask me. Okay. Okay. We tried. I didn't want to be his judge, jury, and executioner. And he turned us down. Couldn't force him. But then there are others who will hear and who will obey. We know the false teachers are out there, don't we? We know how Jesus and the apostles handled and dealt with them. And so should we. Look what they did. Did it start small like that little stone that Daniel prophesied about, as we talked about last night? Did it start small? But didn't it explode 3,000, 4,000, 5,000, and then they tell us 25,000 to 30,000 in the city alone? Wow. Can we turn the world upside down? Don't wait for somebody else. You go. Oh, but I'm too old. Oh, I'm too young. Oh, I don't know enough. If I don't know enough, what am I going to do? Stay ignorant or go after it and go after them? And I want to guarantee you, if you get one soul, you won't say, "Well, Lord, I'm done." What will you be looking for? Number two, that's right. Number three, and number five. And these blue pads that I'm looking at won't be there anymore. And you know who will be here, and you will not have to coax them out for Bible study Sunday morning or Wednesday night. Because like the song says, they will recognize I once was lost, but now I'm found. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. And you know what they will do? They will become your best personal workers. They'll know that there are others where He was, and they'll say, we've got to go back and get them. And a church on fire is a growing, not a dying church. Okay? Do not let your zeal stop. Keep promoting the idea of growth. One elder told me, he said, Mo, we're pretty well resigned on being small. I said, well, then you will be. Can you imagine that? Well, we're just a little group here and we just resigned on being that way. What's going to happen in a few years? Some denominations are going to buy your building. It'll be all over, won't it? But you can go, like the Lord said, to the apostles and to all the world. Your world is right here. Let's sick them. Because we have the truth, don't we? Shake your head this way. Yes, we do. Don't be ashamed. Paul said he wasn't. And look what he did. Can we do it again? Yes, we can. There's one here that'd like to join this army of God and be an army that fights. To fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on to eternal life. Use the sword of the Spirit. The shield of faith. The helmet of salvation. Have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. And then go. And you won't want to quit. If you're not among us, you want to be baptized into Christ, all things are ready if your heart is. While we stand and while we sing, now won't you come?